Now, if you'll turn with me to Psalm 71, Psalm 71. It's a Psalm of David. Psalm of David. And he prayeth for himself in this psalm. He makes a petition unto God on behalf of himself. Praise unto God. He said in that first verse, he said, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." We talk about trusting in Jesus. Trusting in Jesus. Everybody, for the most part, is familiar with the expression. Trusting in Jesus. Well, who are you trusting in? Trusting in Jesus. Well, sometimes that's true and sometimes it's not true. Some really are trusting in Him whom to know is life eternal. And others are trusting in a fictitious Jesus who never existed. And to them, they got a lot of problems. But David, when he said, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust," he was trusting Him, body, soul, mind, and spirit. All that he was, he cast upon the Lord. "I trust in thee." He'd been taught. Verse 5 says, "For thou art my hope." Every man has a hope. "I hope if I die, that I die in my sleep, that I won't have to suffer." I have that hope. I hope when I die, all it will be well with me. I hope things will be all right. Those are false hopes. No hope is any account that's apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. No hope. Make it what it is. "For thou art my hope, O Lord God, my hope. Thou art my trust from my youth. From the time I was young, thou hast taught me. Thou hast revealed thyself to me. I trust in thee. Thou art my hope." Second verse says, "Deliver me in thy righteousness." That's the only way a man can be delivered. The ground of salvation is founded upon the righteousness of God. That God's character is absolutely immaculate in holiness. God cannot lie. God cannot be unjust. God must be just. God must be holy. He must be righteous. And because of what His character is in regard to holiness and righteousness, He demands His requirements of you and I is to be like Him. That's the demands of God, to love Him all of our heart and soul and strength and our mind. And if we don't do that, if we don't give to God what God demands or requires out of us, then God's justice must prevail. His character binds Him. His character of absolute immaculate righteousness and holiness demands of Him to punish those who do not render unto Him what He demands. He demands righteousness. "Deliver me," He said, in thy righteousness. Now, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ is the ground. That's the basis of salvation. That our Lord Jesus honored and magnified the law of God. That law that says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt have no other gods before thee. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. On and on and on and on. That law. That law must be kept. Righteousness must be established. How can righteousness be established in me, a sinner by nature and by choice? Far off from God, no desire for God. Someone must come and do it for me. That's the reason why we have said many and many, many times, and most people don't hear what I'm saying. I'm saying, like I've said always, what God demands, God provides. What God demands out of me, He provides for me in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who establishes my righteousness. A man cannot approach God unless he has perfection. Perfection cannot be found in you, cannot be found in me. It can only be found in Him whom God has provided. God become a man. And the man Christ Jesus provided all that our needs to meet, that our needs that's necessary to meet the demand of our needs as sinners. He provides our righteousness. Satisfies the law of justice. Bears the penalty that's due us as sinners. Clothes us in His righteousness. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Blessed is that man to whom the Lord will not write sin down on his account. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Be my hiding place, where I live. Shelter me. Be a refuge to me. Be the rock that shelters me from the storm. Shelters me from the arrows of justice. Deliver me. Thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous man and cruel man, for thou art my hope. O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he. Tells God this in his petition. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I'm a wonder unto many. Every believer's a wonder unto many, aren't they? Why do you do what you do? How is it that you're not part of this system and this world, and you're kind of in the world, but you're not of the world. Why is it that you exercise yourself in such a way, in such a manner that you live decently and respectably among your neighbors? Why is all that? Why is it then? Church time, you're always going to church and singing hymns and praising God. Why? You're a wonder to people. A wonder. A wonderment. Amazement. I am as a wonder to many. But it said, thou art my strong refuge. And that's the reason why he is a wonder to people. Because Christ is his refuge. That's his hiding place. Christ is his deliverer. His escape. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. The object of his affections. Remember I told you that true love bestows its very best on the object of its affection. True love does that. If you love your children, if you love your wife, you do your very best upon the object of your affection. If you are the object of God's affection, then His true love does its very best for you. That's a mystery, isn't it? Well, verse 9, this is what I want to talk to you about for just a few minutes. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Now, you may not be, if you're young, you're not be interested in that verse. But if you've got a little time on your side, you might be interested. Now, I told you David was the author of this psalm, and it's a petition of David's unto his Lord. He said, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. And then he said, cast me not off in the time of old age. Don't forsake me when I get old. Don't forsake me when I get old. That's his petition. Now, this psalm supposed to have been written about the time of Absalom's conspiracy. When Absalom conspired against his father, King David, to overthrow King David and cast him off of the throne and place himself in King David's place. God had cast off David's predecessor, who was Saul. You remember Saul? God cast him off of the throne and gave the throne to David. Now, things looked to David here as if God meant now to cast him off. And even the people that loved David and cherished David and followed after David, even some of them seemed disposed to cast him off because they joined up with Absalom and his conspiracy. So it was in this condition and situation and circumstance that David wrote this 71st Psalm. David was old. And he said, cast me not off in the time of my old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth me. Listen, all old people, all old men and women do not always put up this petition unto God. If the desire of many of the people who are alive tonight, if their desires were put in words, old people, would their petition be like this? Would their petition be, cast me not off in the time of my old age when my strength faileth? No, their petition would be, in all probability, their petition would be, somehow help me to keep what I've gained. Help me to keep my money. Help me to retain my power. And help me, if you can, to gain back some of my youth. That probably would be their petition. Old age is a time when troubles of life are known to increase. Old age is that way. Many are poor, old people. The United States is full of old people, old men, and old women. They say that because men and women live longer now than what they did back in 1935 and 1940 when Social Security got started, that Social Security now, because the length of the time that we live, is going to go broke in about 10 or 15 years because they hadn't planned on men and women living up into 70s and 80s and 90s like they do now. There's many poor, poor people, men and women, that they're so poor and so old, they can't struggle no longer under the burden, the weight that they bear. And they sink under their difficulties, their grief and their sorrows and their hardships. Others have families to live, old people. Their families are still living, their sons and daughters. And oftentimes they live, these old people, to see the miseries of their children. The miseries of their children. Them's miseries. I'm talking about real things tonight. I'm not talking about pie in the sky. I'm talking about real life. Old people struggle trying to maintain some dignity. Forsaken by even their children. Others lose their friends by death. You see, when we're young, that's the time when we form connections. But when we get old, that's the time when we dissolve these connections that we formed when we were young. Old age brings these things on. Old age. How many poor widows are left in this world to serve and to serve alone? No help. Old age. That's a hard time. It's not the best time of your life, old age. Most people think it is, I think, don't they? They say, well, that's the best time. But it's not the best time. That's when you have tendency to have troubles when you're old. Old age is a time in which the troubles of life not only increase, but they become harder and harder to bear. That's true. I know that by experience, and I think you do too. Young people, they'll weather the storm, won't they? They'll shake off them troubles. But you don't shake them off. You don't shake them off. You have troubles during the day. You can't leave them be. You take them with you. That's the reason sometimes, Bob, you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. You still take your troubles with you. You got troubles. Young people, they go to sleep. They sleep all night. They sleep to 10 o'clock. Sleep to 11 o'clock. You don't sleep that long. You get up. Got troubles. Pains of the mind to old people resemble pains of the body when you're old. They remain. They remain. Young people will work them out, but in old people, they remain. And they're carried to the grave with them. Jacob, you remember, when he was a young man, he had hardships. He complained, Jacob, about the heat of the sun during the day and the cold frost at night. But he soon forgot about the heat of the day and the cold frost at night. He was a young man. But when the darling of his bosom, Rachel, died, when he was old and Rachel died, the object of his affections, things was different then. He couldn't handle it. Too much for him. Old age. Old age. Old age is a time which ought to command respect, but it doesn't. It ought to. And it is so among those who are serious Christians. Those who are serious. You say, is there any other kind? Well, I knew you was going to say that. No, there's not any other kind. Serious Christians. They're concerned. They're concerned, and they give respect. But oft times the aged have no respect. Old age is a time bordering on death and eternity. The enjoyments of life are more than half gone. Here I am over the 70 mark. The enjoyments of my life are gone. You believe that? You can believe it. They're gone. They're gone. And the remainder that I have hang on a thread. Wonder, old David said, cast me not off. Cast me not off in the time of my old age, when my strength failed. Cast me not off. Well, let me just mention this and I'll quit. Now, in what case is there ground to hope that the blessing petitioned by David unto God will be granted? What is the case where God will answer the petition and not cast a man off? Now listen, not old men and old women, not every old man and every old woman enjoy God's favor and God's presence. Some old people, they're tottering on the grave, and they're wicked, ripe in wickedness, been wicked all of their life, been mercenary, been oppressive, been deceitful, been crafty, lived for themselves all of their life, and they come down to the end of the way, and they find no favor and no mercy of God. Oh no. They think that God will show mercy, but I'm here to tell you, there's no mercy outside of His Son. Outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, God is a what? A consuming fire. outside of it. That's the reason why. Certainly, I'm constrained time and time again to beseech you, if you've got the slightest interest in God and eternity, to cast your all upon God's dear Son and trust Him who alone can save you. And in old age, make this petition. God will hear it. And God won't cast you off. That'll be something, won't it? Huh? Not all old people enjoy God's favor and God's presence. Some of these old people, even those sins which these old people no longer can act, yet they retain them in their mind and repeat them to others. Talk about their sins. Wicked, wicked. They'll recall them. God will cast them off, won't He? He'll cast them off. Age itself entitles no man to respect just because he's old. Over in the book of Isaiah, there's a verse of Scripture that goes something like this. It says, a sinner, the sinner, 100 years old, shall be accursed. That's what it says. Listen, if we're certain by the certainty of the Word of God that God's on our side and we're on His side, if we have a certainty that the Lord Jesus Christ is our shepherd, if we have a certainty that the Lord Jesus died in our stead, in our place, in our room, bore the penalty due us against our sins, clothed us in His righteousness, made us accepted, if there's a certainty about that, and we be the servants of God, God will not cast us off in our old age. You know why He won't cast us off? Because He cast Him off. That's the reason why I won't cast one of those little ones who has little faith. He won't cast him off because He cast him off. See? He cast him off. Why did He cast him off? Because He made him to be sin who knew no sin. He whom God sent, the Savior of sinners, God forsook Him. God left Him to Himself. When He needed someone to help Him, all men hath forsaken Me. No one there. When He trod the winepress of God's wrath alone, there was no one there to assist Him, to help Him, to comfort them. No one shouted from the crowd, "Hang in there, hang on, help is at hand." No one said a word. Alone. And He cried out there in the book of Mark, chapter 15, Psalm 22. He said, "My God, my God." Not my father. Him being a man. God man. He didn't call Him father. God was His judge. He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? Why hast Thou forsaken Me? Everybody forsook Him. even God forsook him, because he's the Redeemer. He's the sin bearer. He's the one made atonement. He's our deliverer. He's our rock of ages. And the wrath of God fell on him when it should have fallen on me. And I won't be forsaken now, because God forsook him, my substitute. Ought to love him, oughtn't I? Ought to love him. Ought to serve him. He did this for me. For me. For me. Me. I'm only a sinner and nothing at all. But Jesus Christ is my all in all. He did it for me. I'm a debtor to him. His love for me constrains me to live for him, to tell the story of who he is and what he done, why he done, where he's at, and what he's doing. If it's certain, we're God's servants. He'll never cast us off in old age. Listen to this. Over in the book of 2 Timothy. Let me read a couple passages here. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. The apostle says this. Chapter 4 and verse 10. He said, "For Demas hath forsaken me." Men will forsake you. Your best friends will forsake you. If the situation and the circumstances demands, when you need help, they won't be there. They'll forsake you. They'll forsake you if it's going to cost them something. They don't know you. They'll forsake you. Demas hath forsaken me. He loved this present evil world. He hath forsaken me. Having loved this present evil world, he's departed. Then turn over there. Verse 16 of the same chapter. This is what Paul said. "At my first answer, no man stood with me." No man stood with the Lord Jesus. Paul said, "No man stood with me." You mean Peter, James, John, Bartholomew, and all the disciples, the 11 disciples, weren't they there? No, they weren't there. Oh, no, they ran into the darkness of the night and hid for fear of the Jews. He stood by himself. "At my first answer," Paul says, "no man stood with me, and all men forsook me." Why did they forsake old Paul? Because Paul wouldn't forsake the gospel. He wouldn't forsake it. He wouldn't compromise. He wouldn't do it. He said, "I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge." But listen to this. "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me." That's what I like, don't you? Notwithstanding, he'll be there. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yea, though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death." Out there. You'll be there. "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me, and he strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom." And Paul just couldn't contain himself. After he thought about that, "God standing with me, strengthened me, delivered me from every evil work, and preserved me." He'll preserve me. know what that means. Preserve me. He'll keep me intact unto His heavenly kingdom. And he got so overcome and overwhelmed with praise unto God, he immediately got off of the subject and he said, to whom be glory forever and ever. And then he said, amen, so be it. Oh, that's true. Let me read something else to you. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Listen to what it says. Verse 5. He said, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Boy, that's something, isn't it? That's something. God won't leave His people. He won't leave His people. His people. There's lots of people in this world. But He's talking about His people. Those people who have been quickened from their dead state and given life and light. Those people that have been chosen. Those people that have been called. Those people that He justified. Those people that He glorified. His people. I'll never forsake them. He won't forsake them. He can't. His character binds him to keep his word. Immutability. It's not that he won't lie. It's that he can't lie. He can't lie. What he said is true. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's our petition. Lord, in my old age, don't forsake me. Don't leave me. Don't leave me to myself. Don't leave me. Huh? God help us. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed.